Welcome to This Complex Life, a podcast where we explore the intricacies of wellbeing and relationships. I'm your host, Marie Vakakis, an accredited mental health social worker, family therapist, speaker, and mental health educator. Coming to you from the lands of the Bunurong and Wurundjeri people, join me as we demystify mental health, break down stigma, and navigate life's messiness and complexities one conversation at a time. And just a little reminder, information in this podcast is for educational purposes only. Anything said should not be taken as a replacement for medical, clinical, or other professional advice, diagnosis, or treatment. This podcast is not a substitute for professional mental health treatment and advice. If you or someone you know requires support, please contact a mental health professional in your area. Thanks for listening. This week's episode is a listener question, and this week's question is, how do I support my daughter through sexual assault without adding to the trauma? This is a very big question, and what we know is when someone experiences sexual violence, the people they choose to talk about can play a really important role. So having a supportive family member, friend, or coworker can make a really big difference in that person's experience and support or not their recovery. There is no right or wrong way for someone to react to an experience of sexual violence. Responding well when someone shares their experience with you can make a big difference. So remember that your support is crucial, and you can support them by believing them, being a good listener, and never blaming them for what has happened. Some of my tips for navigating this conversation, and I think the first one would be, if you're unsure, get support yourself. Go to your GP, get a mental health care plan, use your work's EAP program, call a helpline. Your reaction can make a really big difference here, in a positive or negative way. So if you're unsure, get the support that you need to be able to support her. That aside, if you're going to approach your daughter, approach with care and allow as much autonomy and choice as you can. If you're going to have a conversation, make sure it's at an appropriate time for her and for you, and that it's a safe place to talk. Understand trauma and recognize that it affects everybody differently. And it's important to understand that her reactions, feelings, healing process are all unique to her. You can encourage some conversations about the impact of trauma on mental health, but there is no right way to feel or to heal. So I really want to emphasize that. If you're going to be having those conversations, create a safe space. This is really important. It needs to be safe and a non-judgmental space. And sometimes just being there, offering a listening ear without pressuring her to share more than she's comfortable with, can be really important. Assess for any signs of crisis. So when someone experiences a traumatic incident, it might increase the risk of things like self-harm or suicidality. So this is really crucial given the traumatic nature of sexual assault, that you're looking for signs of those crises. And if you've got concerns about those, have a conversation. Use a structure like the mental health first aid structure that provide really good detailed steps on how to have a conversation with someone whose mental health you're worried about. Stay calm, show empathy, and provide support or seek emergency help if necessary if the risk is high. And remember, in all of these interactions, listen actively and with empathy, allowing her to express thoughts and feelings without fear of judgment. Acknowledge her emotions and experiences and show her that you believe her and will support her. Following on from an incident like this, empowering choice is really important. This includes decisions about seeking professional help or legal action and how she chooses to move forward. If it comes to seeking professional support, it can be really helpful to explore the benefits of different professionals, counseling, therapy, support groups, and emphasize that it's okay to seek help from those trained to assist survivors of sexual assault. And it can be a really crucial step in the healing process. You might want to offer some practical support, whether it's attending appointments with her, helping with day-to-day tasks, or simply providing just a comfortable space at home.
and discuss how these actions can help reduce stress and provide, you know, some stability. You might want to overt that with her, or maybe just do what you can to provide some seamless experiences throughout the week. Ask before you touch. This is a really tricky one. After experiencing sexual violence, some people don't want to be touched. So as a support person, as a parent, you might want to offer comfort by giving them a hug, putting your arm around them, putting, you know, your hand on their leg. But it's important to ask first. Physical touch without consent, without their permission, might bring back memories of the assault and might emphasize that they have no control or body autonomy. So we really want to seek permission and ask, you know, is it okay if I give you a hug right now? It can be as simple as that. Encourage self-care. Again, really gently, without judgment, encourage her to engage in activities that bring joy and relaxation. Maybe it's reading, spending time in nature, a hobby. Taking care of physical health and mental well-being can be a really important bit here and might be a bit of a priority as well. It's really hard to just tell someone, go and do this. Why don't you go out in nature? People in general don't respond well to that stuff. So it might be that you do those things together, maybe in silence. I think a lot of teenagers really worry that when they spend large chunks of time with their parents, they're going to get 21 questions interrogating them. So maybe just saying, I've taken a day off, let's go to a hike. I know you love the outdoors. I've booked a yoga class. Would you like to come with me? We can do some things side by side, but not have to talk. It's offering opportunities to do things that promote well-being, maybe safety, stability, and connection. Have patience in the process. This is really a tough one. It can take months and months, if not years sometimes, for people to talk about their experience, to understand the impact, and to want to get support. The timeline varies from person to person. So keep in mind that everybody's response is their own. We don't want to rush the process, but we do want to monitor for ongoing signs or symptoms of declining mental health. So if you're noticing that there are symptoms of poor mental health, if there's indication of self-harm or suicidality, you might need to escalate some of those conversations to focus around safety when you notice those things. And support yourself. Supporting someone through trauma can be really challenging for the supporter. It's really important to seek that support for yourself. Like I mentioned earlier, you might want the support to know what to say or do, but it's also helpful to have your own support to debrief, to explore how this impacts you, how it impacted somebody you love and the pain or suffering or vicarious trauma that has on you. So being able to seek that support out is really important. If you're going to explore options for help, and that might be a really great idea, it's important to find someone. It's important that someone who's been sexually assaulted has as much control as possible over what they do next. So you can help by finding out about different services and how to use them, but not pressure them to go. So after an assault, it can be really difficult to think about those things straight away. So your support finding the services and maybe contacting them can be really great, but don't force them on the person. Some resources include your local Center Against Sexual Assault, so CASA. There's 1-800-RESPECT. You might be able to access private sessions through a local therapist or someone through telehealth that works with trauma and sexual assault. There are a number of different options available there for you.
While we want to offer as much support and encouragement for them to have as much choice as they can about who to tell and what to share, it's really, really important to be aware of mandatory reporting guidelines. Each state has different rules about this, and there are some circumstances where the law says you must report the sexual abuse that you become aware of. So it's really important to be aware of your responsibilities in this area and figuring out what is the law in your state or territory as it's different. For example, in Victoria and the Northern Territory, any adult is required to report sexual abuse of a person up to the age of 18. So have a look at those resources. I'll put a link to that in the show notes, but make sure that you are very clear on your obligations under that law.
Good luck, dear listener. This is a really difficult situation. And my heart really goes out to you and your family.
Thank you for listening. To keep the conversation going, head on over to Instagram or LinkedIn and follow me. If you'd like to keep updated with episodes and other interesting things happening in mental health, join my weekly This Complex Life newsletter, where I'll share tools, tips, and insight. There's a link in the show notes. Got a question you want answered? Shoot me an email or a DM. I'd love to hear from you. And if you enjoy the show, I'd really appreciate it if you could leave a rating and a review. It helps other people find the podcast.